Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and today we are recording episode 18. And I am so excited to say that we have gotten this far. And glory be to God, we have gotten this far. Glory be to God, He continues to give me topics and give me things to talk about. I've said this on here before that I never want to make an episode. I never want to talk about anything that I feel is not led by the Lord, because I really feel like this podcast is the Lord's. It's not mine, which means that I really want to be thoughtful with not furthering myself and just like talking about what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what the Lord is calling me to talk about. And y'all, what I feel the Lord is calling me to talk about, and I felt Him really pressing it on me the past couple days, but I was unsure of the direction to go in. I actually tried to record this episode a couple times yesterday and it just didn't feel right. And I was praying for the Lord to guide me in this. And I feel like I now have enough understanding of the direction He wants me to go in. And our topic today is really going to focus on works. And I know, especially when I was new in giving my life to Christ, I had a lot of questions about works, because I knew the saying, faith without works is dead. But I also had the understanding of works don't buy your way into heaven. So it was really hard for me to navigate, like, does God care about our works? How important are our works? Do our works buy our way into heaven? Do our works matter? And, you know, we're going to cover a lot of those questions today. But I have an interesting experience to share with you guys first that really emphasized this topic to me. Now, this past weekend, I went to my city every year has this street festival where they have different vendors, food vendors, and people selling handmade things. And there are old, like, Victorian houses that you can have the opportunity to tour through, to walk through. And this year, on that tour as well, there was this building. Now, this building, I've known it since I was a child because I had ballet classes there as a child. I had my proms there. This building hosts all kinds of events, weddings, prom, dance classes, like just about everything you can think of. They have a big auditorium. This building was built in the 1920s. It's been here for basically 100 years. I believe their construction finished in 1926. So we're just about at the 100-year point, 99 years as I'm recording this episode. And yeah, there were tours allowed of this building. So me and the person I went with, we obviously purchased the tours and we got to go in this place. And I learned something very interesting that I did not know. And I did not know that this building was at one point a Masonic temple. Now, I will tell you guys, I do not know a lot about Freemasonry. I am not an expert. I am not even someone who can tell you a lot of facts about it. When I found out that the place we were going into was a Masonic temple at one point, because the more I was reading, and I actually have the pamphlet here, it says the building is noteworthy as a significant historic landmark in the city due to its size and prominence. The interiors include murals by Gustav Brand depicting biblical scenes connected to Masonic rituals, and this kind of artwork is rare among other Masonic temples of its time. And I'm gonna tell y'all honestly, when I first started reading that, my walls went up very quickly. And I kind of looked at the person I was sitting next to and I was like, what are we getting into? Because y'all know I have a history in New Age spirituality. And I know that Freemasonry, from what I've looked at, and New Age are not similar. But when I hear rituals from my past experience, my walls start going up instantly. Because my mind starts going to, what kind of demonic thing am I stepping into? What kind of demonic thing am I walking into? Are there going to be, like, demonic portals that need closing? What's going on here? But You know, I chilled out, I relaxed, I recognized, hey, this is no longer an active ritualistic place to my knowledge. The Freemasons, I believe, on the tour they told me left in 2013. So, but I decided to do a little bit of research because I had no clue what Freemasons were at this point. So I also, part of my fear and my anxiety was due to a lack of knowledge and hearing the word rituals. I'll be real with y'all. And hearing temple rituals, yeah, it didn't sit right. So I do a quick Google search of like, just what are some of the basic differences between Christianity and Freemasonry? And there was a list, but one thing that heavily stood out, that I'm just saying this is what Google had told me, was that they have more of a works-based salvation, meaning your works are what gets you into eternal life, or your works is what gets you rewarded. And, you know, I didn't go so far into looking into all of the rooted beliefs of what happens after death. I do recognize, my understanding is that like all Freemasons believe in a higher power or a God. Not all of them believe in Jesus Christ as a savior. There are different branches of people who do believe in Jesus Christ, and it kind of branches off in that way. But that was one of the big things that stood out to me, is that works is a very prevalent, and that there are many that believe in works-based salvation, was what I had read. And when I went on this tour, we went into, there was a male temple, a temple that was for males and where they would do their rituals. And the artwork was absolutely beautiful. And there was one for women. And there were in each room like 10 different biblical scenes depicted. And just about every single one of them was Old Testament. I believe I saw one New Testament one that was from the book of Mark. And it seemed like they really focused in on Moses. It showed like Moses in the reeds, showcasing the works of, you know, the woman that saved him. Was that Pharaoh's daughter at the time, or Pharaoh's wife at the time, that had saved Moses from the reeds? It showed Moses striking the rock. It showed Noah's Ark. It was all of these different Old Testament depictions. And I did very quickly realize that there was no Jesus up there. And when I asked the man who is guiding us on the tour, he had actually, I just asked him, you know, do they tend to focus more on Old Testament or New Testament? I'm noticing a lot of Old Testament things here. And he had told me that he was actually, he wasn't a Freemason exactly. It was a branch, a denomination that kind of branches off of Freemason, which he explained to me was kind of close ideals. And he had explained that the reason why all these artworks were depicted, he had confirmed, was based on the works. Is he said that they were each up there to represent doing good works or doing good deeds. And he had explained to us that good deeds were very important, you know, donating to things, volunteering for things, all of that good stuff. And the more I was in there, the more I recognized that there wasn't a lot of Jesus and a lot of forgiveness for your sins and faith, but there was a lot of works. And after I left there, I started to think a lot more about works. And I really feel like that is the topic that the Lord has placed on my heart today. And I want to be very clear with my view and my stance right off the bat. I do not believe in works-based salvation. I personally do not believe in works-based salvation. And I want to give you some different scripture real quick. Now, I want to start in John 3:16. So we're going to open up our Bibles. We are going to flip to John 3:16. It says here, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Eternal life being eternal life with the Heavenly Father. You get to spend, after you die here on earth, your eternal life with the Heavenly Father in heaven. And that is if you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I would like to flip to Matthew chapter 21. Sorry, I'd like to reword that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And it says here, "Not everyone says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And this right here is showing me what I take from this is that, you know, you can do many good things. You can do many, many good works, and that still isn't going to be what buys your way into heaven. See, the Lord, the Heavenly Father, Jesus, they pay attention to the reason why you are doing these good things, these good works. Notice how Jesus differentiates good works from the will of the Father. Not everything that we consider as good works is something that God wills for us to do. And we'll go more in depth in this. And I'd also like to go to Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." And that one to me is the most clear spelled out, that our salvation, our forgiveness for our sins is graced. It is a gift from the Heavenly Father. It's not something that we can earn. Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross and spill his blood because we earned it. But there is no worldly works. There is no earthly works that we can do here that when we die, we can go to the Heavenly Father and say, "I did A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I donated this much money. I did this much stuff. I did these kind of works. I deserve to enter heaven." It is by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. It is by knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and came here and died for our sins and rose again. And we put our faith in him. And that is how we are forgiven for our sins. The way that it has always been explained to me, because that is what stops us from going into heaven, right? Is that sin, is that debt that we are racking up in this lifetime. That's the way when I was really trying to break this down and really trying to understand this, because some of these ideals were very hard for me to grasp. When I was really getting in scripture and giving my life to Christ, you know, it's funny, growing up in the church, I never really questioned these things because I never really put my faith in it. And once I started really putting my faith in it and really reading scripture and really trying to build my relationship with Christ is when I actually started questioning these things more, because I really wanted to understand them and I really wanted to believe them. And what really helped me grasp it at first is looking at our sin as basically like a debt almost, right? Like it's something that it's a debt that we cannot pay for. We do not have the coverage to pay for this. So we're here as we're sinning, we're racking up this debt. And then one day it's going to come time that we have to pay that debt. And that is something that none of us can pay. Our works cannot pay it. Our words, the way that we swindle, the way that we talk, we can't manipulate our way in. We can't bang on the door and con God. We can't emotionally manipulate God to let us in. So he sent Jesus Christ, who was perfect, who endured all of these temptations that we endure, but stayed strong. And when he, an innocent man, was taken to the cross, when he took our place, what he did was he took our place. He was sinless and he took our place. He was beaten. He was flogged. His insides were hanging out. He was completely like deformed after everything that he had been through. And he was made to carry that heavy splintery cross with crowns of thorns in his head and hung on that cross with nails in his hands and in his feet to die. When he never did anything deserving of that death. So what he did that day was he took the place for everyone who was living, and everyone who would come to be, which is you and me. And when he resurrected from the dead, he conquered death. He conquered the enemy. He secured a victory for us. And when we put our faith in him, when we believe that that really happened, when we believe that he really went to the cross, when we believe that he really resurrected, when we believe that he is really the Son of God, when we believe that he really did do these things and he really is conquering over death, we are putting our faith in him. Right? Like what, when we, it starts with that belief. And when we do that, we are accepting his sacrifice. And when we accept his sacrifice, it pays our debt. You see, that's not something that we are able to pay. And Jesus Christ came here and paid it. So it's like we have a debt in our hands. And what Jesus Christ did is the payment. And when you give that debt to him, his blood, it pays for it. Does that make sense, guys? I hope I'm wording this clearly. So that's why putting your faith in him is required, is because our sinfulness is what stops us from going into heaven. So our works are not going to pay off that debt. How much just, you know, we donate and all of that, like that's awesome to donate to things. That's awesome to be a help. But that alone is not what cleanses. Because you see, when we give, when you hear people say that you are a new creation in Christ, and when you repent for your sins, and when you lay things at the Lord's feet, you are forgiven. That is part of that transaction. And we can get into one day of how the enemy, spiritual warfare wise, likes to remind you of your past and likes to convince you of those things, because that's him trying to strip away what Jesus Christ did. That's him trying to strip away the forgiveness. That's him trying to strip away the new creation. But if you are having trouble understanding what Jesus Christ going to the cross did for you, that is what it did for you. And I talked about recently in my spiritual warfare episode how also the blood of Jesus is a protection for us in spiritual warfare. But that is why putting your faith in Jesus Christ is what gets you access to heaven, okay? And now let's talk about works. Because when that was another big question I had when I was giving my life to Christ, I started understanding, okay, so it's my faith in Jesus alone that gets me into heaven. Like that's what forgives me of my sins. That's what cleanses me. So what's the point of good works? Like that's where my mind went a little bit, where it's like, so if works don't buy my salvation, if works don't get me into heaven, what's the point of doing good works? What's the point of trying not to sin? What's the point of loving one another? What's the point of forgiving? What's the point of all these things? I'm gonna tell y'all right now that God calls us to do everything for a reason. Forgiveness, loving one another, that was covered in the spiritual warfare episode. When you have unforgiveness, you are giving room for the devil to come in your life. So I'll tell you right now that works, some of the works you do of forgiving and loving and things like that, that I don't even know if they should be fully considered works, okay? These are fruits, you know, fruits of the Spirit, joy, love, patience, self-control. But things like forgiveness and loving thy neighbor as thyself, those things, when you keep those in practice, that is actually protection from the devil. Because once you have unforgiveness and once you have things like that in you, that gives the devil a stronghold in your life. That gives the enemy a place to operate out of. You know, when you are holding people in unforgiveness, when you're refusing to let things go, you are giving the devil some legal access to your life. That's an open door. Okay, so one of the reasons why the Lord calls us not to sin is that way we don't give the devil so much access to us and so much legal access to us. It's harder for him to operate in areas of our life when we are trying our best to be sin-free and trying our best to be Christ-like in those aspects, in those areas. And I'll tell you too that, and this is more from my personal experience, God doesn't like to bless disobedience. Have you ever noticed that sometimes he's calling you to just, there's a promise you're waiting on him. Maybe you're waiting on him to reveal something to you. You know, you believe that there's a move that he wants to make in your life, but he's saying, hey, I need you to forgive this person first. I need you to volunteer for this thing first. I need you to do this thing. I'm telling y'all right now that sometimes that work, how we have that scripture that says faith without works is dead. When you put your faith in the Lord, there are certain things that he's going to call you to do that allow him to move in your life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's a better way to word that. So meaning when you place your faith in the Lord, when you believe that he has the ability to move in your life, when you believe that he has the ability to heal the sick, when you believe that he has the ability to answer your prayers, when you believe that he was the Son of God, you believe that he is still capable of doing these things. So once you have your faith in him, you start to move differently. Okay? And there are works that the Lord will call you to do. He'll call you to start volunteering, to start donating your time. He will call you to start showing love to one another. He will call you to start spreading the gospel. He will call you to start doing these things that, yes, are works. But these works allow him to move. Number one, he'll be able to move in your life. I cannot tell y'all how many times I was waiting on God to answer a prayer. When I was praying to him for a job, when I was praying to him for financial provision, when I was praying to him for reconciliation, when I was praying to him for opportunities to spread the gospel, when I was praying to him for these different things, and he would answer with an instruction where it would be sign up for this thing, attend this, go to this, donate to this, go speak to this person, which is a work. And once I would do that, somehow a door would be open. Next thing you know, there's a blessing in that situation. Your disobedience and your refusal to do works can actually be blocking blessings. The Lord really revealed that to me at multiple different times in my life. Okay. Sometimes the answered prayer is on the other side of an act of obedience. But this was an interesting thing that the Lord really showed me, is that naturally your works start to look different as you grow in closeness with Christ. Because that question that I told you all about earlier, when I was asking myself, well, what's the point of doing good works? It's strange how once I started building my relationship with Christ and the fruits of the Spirit started developing in me, I naturally started to desire to want to be more Christ-like. When in the past, my first reaction would be to crash out in situations, all of a sudden my brain started going to, like, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? How would Jesus react? Would Jesus crash out or would he be loving? And I started naturally wanting to do more because I started feeling more of a conviction as well. And that's the thing, is I started listening to the conviction I feel. When you get a conviction from the Lord, in my experience and how I've heard a lot of other people describe it, it really starts out as like a loud voice of like, hey, don't be handling it this way. React this way. You know, turn away from this. Like a loud voice. And you had the opportunity to either listen to that or to ignore it and put it on the back burner. And I can tell y'all from experience too, when you ignore it and put it on the back burner, that voice starts to get a little bit quieter and quieter and quieter. And you don't want the voice of the Lord to get quieter. So that's another thing too, is I started to feel more conviction. Now I want to say there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The conviction was, hey, you know better, make a better choice. Condemnation is not from God. Condemnation is from the devil. And condemnation is, there's no coming back from this. You screwed it up. It's done forever. It's dead. There's no redemption. That's not from the Lord. The Lord is all about redemption. The Lord is all about redeeming. Okay. That's literally what he did on the cross. It's redemption for us. All right. So I just want to make that very clear, that conviction, yes. But when you start feeling that condemnation, understand that that condemnation isn't from God. There's sometimes where I felt conviction and listened to that, and then afterwards the enemy, the devil, tries to whisper in my ear with condemnation of saying, well, there's no coming back, there's none of this. I'm telling y'all right now, if you're experiencing that, take those intrusive thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, bind whatever that is, and rebuke it in Jesus' name. Okay? But yeah, so it's really important to understand that God will call us to do good works, and doing good works is part of our faith. But it really is a product of our faith. And if you've ever heard anyone say, you shall know them by their fruits, you know that that's in scripture where the Lord says, you shall know people by their fruits. You shall know believers by their fruits. Anybody, y'all, can claim that they know the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody can read all scripture and quote it off. We saw the devil do it to Jesus in the desert. He could quote scripture, but he was twisting it and manipulating it. All right, anybody can quote scripture. Anybody can go to church. Anybody can talk about the Lord. anybody can talk about God. Fruits of the Spirit are different. And that's why the Lord said, you shall know them by their fruits. Because it's really hard to decipher just by what someone's saying. And what are the fruits of the Spirit? I'll list off a couple for you. Love, joy, patience, peace, self-control, long-suffering. A lot of people forget about that one or want to ignore that one, but long-suffering. And these things aren't just developed overnight, and anybody can develop these things. No, you're not just a crash out. Stop saying that. You can develop self-control. And the Lord does it through giving you opportunities to be more self-controlled. I remember when I was praying for self-control, and I was praying for joy, and I was praying for love. God would give me opportunities to be joyous despite my situations. Because joy is being able to be joyful despite what you do have or what you don't have. And there were times when I had a lot that I was praising the Lord, and there are other times where I had to find just the few things I could find to be joyful about and be joyful about. With self-control, there were opportunities for me to go backwards. There were opportunities presented to me to lose myself and to do whatever I wanted to do and to cast all care to the wind. And I had to decide in that moment to hold myself accountable and to be self-controlled. These fruits of the Spirit are developed by having opportunities to do one or the other. When you pray to the Lord for things, He's going to give you opportunities to do that. If you're praying for boldness, He's going to give you opportunities to be bold. If you're praying for patience, He's going to give you opportunities to be patient. And you have to choose to be patient and then get your patience from Him. Pray to Him. Get your strength from Him. He's not meaning for you to do it alone and you like develop just like your own personal muscle. You are still supposed to go to God in all of these times. You're supposed to be getting your strength from the Lord. But that's the thing too, is your fruits of the Spirit are going to start to develop as you continue your relationship with Christ. And oftentimes they are going to be developed through types of work that the Lord calls you to do. Let me think of an example. Patience. Patience. The patience was actually developed for me a lot through a type of work I did, through a job title I had. I was working with children every single day. And I don't know if y'all know this or not, but working with young children, you have to be very patient, like at all times. And when I tell y'all that the Lord, I was showing up to my job every single day, and there was something new that was unexpected that I just had to be patient about, and that I had to show love, and I had to still be joyous and still be smiling to keep the kids smiling. Like, the Lord literally strengthened these things through my work, through me showing up to work every day. It's not I pray for these things and I wake up and I'm all these things. So our works are important because our works do, in a way, kind of reveal our fruits, right? Like, let me think of an example here with love, okay? Love, loving someone despite whether or not they have the same opinions or the same beliefs as you. Now, I'm not saying that this is like affirming sin. I'm not saying that this is, love isn't affirming sin, okay? But love is, I love you despite whatever sin you have going on. I'm going to continue to pray for you. I'm going to continue to show you kindness. I'm going to continue to, you know, not go out of my way to do anything to just, like, hurt you. Like, loving one another as yourself. And one way that we show love is, this was a very simple one, and it was actually in a book that I've been reading, which is called Servant Warfare, where the way that they handle spiritual warfare is through being a servant and through being kind. And the man who wrote the book talked about how every week his church would do something where they would show up to random businesses and offer to clean their toilets. They would go and feed parking meters every week of random people. They would go out and just start cleaning off people's windshields of their cars and then give them cards saying that they're doing this to show the love of Jesus Christ in a practical way. And sometimes they would show up and there would be people being very rude to them. There was in the book talked about, there was a lady that they showed up who they showed up to give food to her and to her family when she was a fortune teller and a tarot card reader. A medium, and showed up to her place of business where she had clients sitting there in the door. And I'm speaking to you all as someone who that was a former path that I was on. I can tell you that divination is sinful. It is a sinful activity. Tarot card reading, mediumship, that is not of the Lord. Okay, so this was a woman who was actively in her sin, who was doing it and literally called the church people to her place of business to ask for food. And they showed up. Kindness, giving her the food and offering to pray for her. End up praying for her and praying for all the people, like almost all the people who were there waiting for their turns, asked to be prayed for. And I believe it was 8 or 9 of them gave their lives to Christ after hearing the gospel, and some of them started attending the church and everything like that. That right there is an example still of doing that works, and that showed their love, right? Their works was donating that food and giving that food and donating your time and stopping and praying for these people and doing these things. And that showed their love for this woman, that even though she was doing what she was doing in her life, they understood that they are no better than her still. And they understood that loving one another is still praying for one another and giving food to one another, helping to care for one another. And that right there, yes, that was a works that they were doing, but it showed their love. It showed the fruit of the Spirit. I hope this is making sense the way I'm explaining it to y'all. And honestly, the longer you're in your walk with Christ, the more you are reading scripture, the more you're praying to him, and the more you're just living out your life as a Christian, and you're just going day by day trying to be more Christ-like and pursue a relationship with him, these things are going to start falling into place. And I wish I could say it better, but you, as you start to see it played out in your daily life and you start to practice it day by day, these things are going to start to make more sense. As you grow in your relationship with Christ and you get to know his character and you get to know who he is and you get to know what he does, you're going to be able more to kind of separate the works from the salvation. And I know it's kind of hard to at first. You're going to be able to start understanding how your works just become a part of your daily routine. Like, I honestly, maybe I should make it a little bit more of a point too, but in all honesty, it's like At first, I used to wake up in the mornings and be like, okay, what do I need to work on today? Do I need to work on discernment? Do I need to work on these things? And I'd be sitting there like, Lord, please give me opportunities to strengthen this and strengthen that. And like, we'll move in this. And throughout the day, I'd be looking like, okay, how can I be more Christ-like in this? How can I be more Christ-like in this? How can I do this? How can I grow this? And now, yes, I pray that the Lord strengthens things, and I pray that the Lord reveals things. And now it's just more the things I used to have to remind myself to do, I find myself just gravitating towards doing now. It's started to become a little bit more of a second nature, and I start looking back at, oh, that was a Christ-like move to make. Like, oh, I read about that in scripture. I'm glad I can see that that took root in me. And you know, there are times when I look back and I'm like, okay, I could have handled that better. Let's reflect on that. Let's figure out the next direction we can go in. Y'all, I think this is going to be a little bit of a shorter podcast episode. I don't think we're going to go too much deeper into this, but I do want to go back to that scripture that I know scares people sometimes. And it's that scripture that says, where Jesus is saying that there are going to be people one day who prepare to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because when we die and like when it's time for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ is like standing in between us and the Heavenly Father. Because Jesus Christ is like interceding for us. That's what his blood does. And that there are going to be people who go before him and say like, have I not done good works? Did I not go and cast out demons in your name? Did I not go and prophesy in your name? That there are going to be people who go before him and say that I claim to be a follower of Christ. I claim I did these wondrous works and I did them in your name. let me in. And he's going to say, like, depart from me, for I never knew you. Meaning, he's going to say, depart from me, because we never had a legitimate relationship. And notice how before that in that scripture, and I had said this in the beginning of our episode, that Jesus really separated the will of the Father from the good works. Because there are a lot of things that we want to do where we're like, oh, well, I just want to donate all, I want to spend all my time investing in this, and I'll just give all my money to these programs, and like, I'll just start up a deliverance ministry, and I'll start up doing all this. And if we would have prayed to God, God would have said, actually, I want you over here. Yes, like, that's a good thing, but there is someone else I have for that position. I want you over here. I want you in this type of ministry. I want you in this type of job. I want you investing your time over here. I want you to do your tithes over here. You know, they were doing these things because it was what they personally wanted. They weren't consulting with the Lord where he wanted them, what he desired for them to do. They weren't getting their guidance or instruction from them. This is so important that someone needs to hear today. Ask yourself, and really take a while, because I needed to check this in. Sometimes I need to check in with myself on this. Are you using God as your are you going to him as your steering wheel or as your spare tire? Are you praying to him saying, God, where should I go? What should I do? How should I do this? How do I do this? How do you want me? Like, you show me. Wait on his answer and you submit to his answer. Or are you making the plans for yourself and praying that God blesses those plans? Are you saying, well, this is what I want. This is how I want to do it. This is where I'm going to go. Lord, I pray that you bless it. Let it all work out. Which one are you doing? Because the first one is a steering wheel. The second one is more the spare tire. It's deciding not to pray to him until maybe it goes sideways or it goes a little awry too. And then you pray to him to fix it. That's really using him as a spare tire. And I know I've needed that check-in before. God wants to guide us every step of the way. And having a relationship with him, you know, that's part of the relationship, is going to him saying, what should I do? Please guide me. Please direct me. We should be praising him as well. But I know that there's so many people that are fearful when they read that scripture. And honestly, I used to be very fearful reading that scripture. And the Lord has really given me a peace with that, because the thing that he's really showed me is where Jesus says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Recognizing that these people didn't have personal relationships with the Lord. They used his name, but they weren't in a personal relationship with him. They weren't getting their guidance from him. They weren't trying to do his will. They were trying to execute their own will. And I hope that this gives someone peace and someone understanding who is listening to this today that is very fearful when they hear that scripture. But I also hope that this provokes you to think, are some of the works that you're doing right now that you think are wonderful, that you think are amazing, are they works that you desire? Are they works that you've created and you've planned for yourself? Or are they works that the Lord has guided you to? Are you checking in with him? Are there some walls you're hitting right now and you're like, why am I hitting these walls? I prayed that God would bless the situation. I pray that he would change whatever doesn't need to work. But did you pray to him before you made the game plan? Did you listen to his yes or no? Can I tell y'all that there was actually such a relief? I wanted to share this. When I was really giving my life to Christ, I was in the lowest place I'd ever been in my life financially. And when I started recognizing everything Jesus Christ's offering did, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that wasn't just paying our sins. Like, that was an offering. Because at that time, people were having to travel to temples and spend their money to buy animals, to then sacrifice, to like pay off their sin. And I remember having such a gratitude where I was like, Lord, thank you so much for Jesus Christ doing this on the cross, because I don't have the money for a goat. I don't have the money for a dove. Like, I remember sitting there at that time saying, I didn't have the resources to buy any of that. I didn't have the resources to travel to a temple. And, like, my mind was like, I can't imagine, like, having to do these things and all of the extras. That's another thing that Jesus Christ going to the cross did, is we don't have to do those burnt offerings anymore. We don't have to do those blood sacrifices. Jesus Christ was the blood sacrifice. We don't have to travel to all these temples. We can pray to Jesus in our car. We can pray to the Heavenly Father in our car. We can pray in our shower. We can pray in our bedroom. We can pray in our office building. We can pray wherever. We have a direct line to the Heavenly Father. I mean, what Jesus Christ did on the cross gives us the opportunity to go to heaven anyway. Because before Jesus, it was just the Jewish community. It was just Israel. It was God's chosen people. Israel, not meaning the nation at the time, meaning the people. That was God's people were Israel. Everyone else, Gentiles, they weren't in the game like this. You know, that's what, when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, that actually opened up the door for the rest of us to accept Jesus Christ. There's so many times that I forget that it's like, it's a blessing that I even had the opportunity to go in to heaven, to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, to be chosen by Him. Many are called, few are chosen. To have a relationship with the Lord and to be used by the Lord. But yeah, I remember, y'all, that I was just in there and I remember sitting in my car just crying, saying like, thank you so much, Lord, for it not being a works-based salvation. Because, like, think about how many people in the world don't have the money to donate to big firms. They don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to invest in companies and corporations. They don't have that, even thousands at a time, to feed the hungry and to do all of these things. Do we have our time to donate? Yes. We can volunteer to things. We can offer. But it's like, thank you, Lord, for it not being, you rack up so much money, you donate so much money, you buy so many animals, you donate so many animals, you lead so many people to Christ, and you get into heaven. Like, it's not even that. It's not even the number of people that you share the gospel with. Because there's some people who have way more resources than other people. There's some people who, because honestly, y'all, and this was another thing that my mind went to, is works-based is just encouragement to do sketchy things to get it done and to get ahead. That's another thing I love with the Lord, is it's not about how fast you get it done. It's about doing it the way that He guides you to do it, right? And when we think of just outcome-based of like, okay, I go to heaven if I bring this many people to the Lord, or I go to heaven if I donate this much money, then that's when a lot of people get in the headspace of, let me do sketchy stuff for money. Let me sin for money. Because honestly, this was something I really learned in the world, is you get things done a lot quicker, seemingly, when you sin. That's what really got me into New Age spirituality and manifesting and all that, is it appeared to be a lot quicker than God's way. But I'll also let you in on a little secret. It doesn't last as long, and it's not as sturdy, because it's not built on a firm foundation. It's not built to last. If it's not God's will for you, if it's not what He wants you to keep in your life, especially once you give your life to Him, you're going to let it go. So I realized that the things that God built were on a firm foundation and lasted, and the devil couldn't just take them away. But the things that, if you are sinning to get things, you're not getting them from God. You're getting them from the devil, and the devil always gets you to give more than what you're willing to bargain for. He's very conditional. So yeah, there's, you know, I had such, it was like this weird but wonderful relief I had when I realized that it was about my faiths. It wasn't about my works. And yes, my works are a byproduct of my faith, but the works I do doesn't determine if I get into heaven. Which means also, as I started saying a few minutes ago, I'm not encouraged to do things just to get the money, just to get this, just to talk to people. Imagine how many sketchy things people would do for platforms. That way they could say, well, once I had the platform, I told everybody about Christ. Which, you know, goes back to what are the intentions behind what you're doing. That's the thing too, y'all. May say this prayer to the Lord, because I used to have a lot of concerns of, is my heart in the right place? Am I doing this for the right reasons? And I finally started praying to the Lord, where I was like, Lord, my will before, or your will before my will. And Lord Jesus, if my will is not matching with what you will for my life, I pray that my will starts to change. I pray that my desires start to change. I start praying to Lord, change the desires of my heart. Where it was like, Lord, these are certain things that I'm desiring for myself, and I don't know if these fit into what you will for my life. And if they don't, I pray that you naturally change and shift these desires. And there are things that, like, a year ago even, I really desired, I really wanted for myself. Heck, there were some things I looked for in a partner that I felt like I could never not have this. And now, some of those things are not even concerns of mine anymore. Like, where I don't want that thing at all. I don't desire that thing at all. And I'm looking back and I'm like, oh yeah, that thing would not have been healthy for me. Or the path that the Lord is guiding me in, that thing would have really kind of like gone head to head, would have been opposition. I'm glad the Lord didn't give me that thing at that time. And he's also stirred up new desires in me. Y'all, one of the crazy desires, I never want to be a mom. Like, ever. I was one of those people who I would always say, I never ever want to be a mom. I was one of those people too, like, I didn't want to get married. And I was praying to the Lord, change the desires of my heart. And he's actually stirred up those desires when I've never had those desires before in my life. There are some viewpoints that I used to have that are completely flipped now. I'm telling y'all that God really moves in that prayer. And when you surrender to that prayer, there are things that he will stir up in you that you never thought were going to be stirred. And there are things that he'll help you release that you never thought you'd be able to release. So y'all, I want to pray us out. I want to pray for you, those of you listening to this podcast. So Lord Jesus, I want to pray for every single person listening to this podcast. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they have a clear understanding of your will, that they have a clear understanding of who you are and what you expect from them, Lord Jesus. I pray that they develop a personal relationship with you and that they listen to the convictions. I pray that they start to feel the convictions and that they listen to the convictions. And I pray that there are fruits of the Spirit that start to develop in their lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, there are some people listening to this today that need to develop better coping mechanisms. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that these people develop better coping mechanisms. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they go to you, that you are their source of peace, that you are their source of comfort, that you are their source of guidance. I pray, Heavenly Father, over all the people listening to this, that they have a peace that surpasses all understanding when it comes to their relationship with you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you strengthen their discernment. I pray, Heavenly Father, that they learn how to plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that they truly put their faith in you and what you are able to do in their lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that they remember that it is not about the works that they do, but that they understand that their works are a byproduct of their faith. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they lean into the works that you are calling them to do, and that they lean into the steps that you are calling them to take. I pray that any opposition is broken off of them. Lord Jesus, remove people from their lives that are acting as opposition or acting as stumbling blocks. And Lord Jesus, bring people into their lives that are going to bring them closer to you and encourage them to pursue their relationship with you. Lord Jesus, I pray that they truly have an understanding of who you are and that they truly develop a love for you and they see you not only as their Savior, but as the Lord over their life. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode. And I really hope that you share this with other people and that you subscribe so that way you don't miss the next upload. This was the Salt Not Sweetener podcast, and I am your host, Danielle Townsend. Have a wonderful day. God bless.